It's Helping Hand, HPR 1 station statewide and online at hawaiipublicradio.org. Fridays is part of All Things Considered. Helping Hand puts a spotlight on an organization, event, or topic that offers assistance to people with disabilities and also to people and animals who are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we are welcoming back Hawaii Fido Service Dogs. They've been our guest a few times on the show. And Hawaii Fido Service Dogs is a nonprofit that's been internationally accredited under ADI, the Assistance Dogs International Organization. Hawaii Fido can explain the significance of service dogs coming from the right sources, especially considering whatever the training that they have to do and matching them up for the right person. He can also explain the many ways, or the executive director who we're going to speak with, that these animals can serve people with disabilities. There are a lot of ways to support this organization, too, and we're going to be welcoming back Jim Kennedy, executive director at Hawaii Fido Service Dogs. He's brought Roz Garcia, one of their puppy raisers, and a member of the Hawaii Fido Service Dog Board of Directors, and Roz has brought along a white lab named Freedom?
Mm-hmm.
A white lab. Welcome, Jim, Roz, and Freedom. Great to have you
Thank
guys
you.
Here.
Thank you very much, Dave.
And how old is the, you can't see it because it's radio, but we'll have a picture in the post of this adorable creature. How old is Freedom?
Freedom is just over 2 years old.
Just over 2 years yep. old. And Jim, as we welcome you back, and we know that that animal is 2 years old, and we know it's an extensive amount of training that they get. First, when it comes to service dogs like Freedom, talk about the kinds of disabilities that Hawaii Fido service dogs can assist with.
Thank you. We raise and train service dogs for people with disabilities other than blindness. Every one of our graduates or candidates has a pretty severe muscular control and or balance issue. The kinds of things, it takes 2 years, by the way, to do the training. Mm. The first year or so with a puppy raiser for behavioral, making certain they're just perfectly well-behaved in the public. And then the last year or a little more, training that dog to perform specific meaningful tasks that will really help the individual with disabilities. Give you a couple of quick examples. Mm-hmm. Obviously, retrieval of dropped items is a big thing for a person with serious back issues, but also retrieval of things like go get my medical kit, opening doors. We put a tether on doors. They can turn lights on and off. They have to be able to, they have to learn to be able to take escalators and elevators and walk on shiny floors. A couple of the larger ones, when we have candidates who are in wheelchairs, can actually help be trained to pull the wheelchair in the right direction. Another thing is that the dog can be used, if it's really a larger one, as for bracing. This is if someone has trouble getting into or out of a chair or their car or
kind of like the way you'd help your friend in and out of the car.
Yeah, exactly right. You take their hands. In this case, though, the person has to have enough upper body strength
right, to make it
to
work.
Be able to put their hands carefully, well-trained, on the hips and the shoulders of the dog and can literally push themselves out of the chair. So that's called bracing. Those are just a few examples of the kinds of things we can train our dogs to perform.
That's an incredible amount of service, and the kinds of dogs. I know this is a golden. This is a golden retriever that we have.
Yellow lab.
So this is a yellow lab. Freedom is a yellow lab, and then the range of dog species, the kinds of dogs. What are the other ones?
Well, besides the labs, we have labradoodles. But we focus on those two. The labs are like Cape Possum and bring anything. They're unrufflable. They're really, really bright. The poodle, which is crossbred with the lab, creating a labradoodle, is really, really bright and a lot of energy. And it's also hypoallergenic. So if there's a family member that has allergy issues, it's not going to be a problem when a labradoodle is placed with them.
Is that the primary reason that a labradoodle would be someone's dog rather than just a regular lab?
Yeah, I think so. It's a good, good dog.
Sure.
Really smart, bright, and
but it ends up being people who have an allergy to dogs that would be the
or,
best.
Or their family and friends.
Right. It doesn't have to be them, right? Somebody in the house or close by. That's a pretty good point. And about the puppy training here, Roz, talk a little bit about the kind of training that you guys, like, so you've had this dog. Explain a little bit, like, how long you've had Freedom and what kind of training goes into it.
Okay. We have had Freedom since he was 2 months old. And like I said, he's just a little bit over 2 years old. So we've had him pretty much from the start. One awesome thing that Hawaii Fido does, we do not have a hard facility or a kennel per se. So we do a lot of our training in the community, and that's very important because even if we did have a facility to train and do a lot of things with our dogs, that's not real life. That's not where they're going to be. That's not who they're going to be paired with in a completely sterile environment free of distractions. So that's one amazing thing. We meet once or twice a week out in the community. We've gone to the mall. We go to the beach. Any place that a disabled person might want to go. Freedom goes to the movies with us all the time. He's very well versed in cinema. And he likes action movies the best. And we've taken him to UH football games as well. So the point of our training is to get them as much socialization and to get them as much exposure out in the community as possible, as well as getting Hawaii Fido's name out there.
Yeah, it's a, I mean, it sounds like, because the dog really needs to get exposed to all that, so nothing will throw it off when it's on its assignment. And equally, people need to get trained, right, in both how to utilize the service dogs and then also how to care for it.
We have four trainers all in all. Susan Lures, who is our founder, is the head trainer. And we have two other trainers here on this island and one on the Big Island. They are the ones that work with the puppy raisers and ultimately the individual who will receive the dog to formalize that specific training that where they learn those tasks that can really help the individual with disabilities. So we're fortunate to have four trainers between here and the Big Island.
And how long is that second? So if it's 2 years of puppy training, and then how long is this?
Well, this one was a little bit different because we recognize, as it turns out, Raza's husband is under disability, some pretty serious spinal issues. And so it was decided that he would be an excellent candidate. So they've had him 2 years, but the first year or so was the puppy raising side. And the last year plus has been working with the trainer to get Freedom to start to learn some of these great tasks. And I wish we had a television screen that your viewers could see, but he can really do some incredible things.
So it's about a year of the puppy just being trained, then about a year of the skills being
added to that.
Okay, that makes that.
And he's about ready to graduate.
Right, after 2 years and both of that of those training. You know, your name has come up over, I guess it's been over the last year. I've read little quotes from you in the newspaper, I guess it's been, or online posts from news sites. And it's an issue that we've talked about when you've been a guest previously on Helping Hand, and that is drawing a distinction between people with a legitimate service dog and people who have what I guess is called a support animal.
Or emotional support.
Support animal. And there's been some legislation to try to assist with that distinction. Speak both to that legislation and to just in the importance of people not abusing the privilege of marking an animal as a service dog and how that can really interfere with somebody who has a disability and creates doubt or other trouble with them and their legitimate dog.
Okay. The legislature has tried to pass a bill for several years, and enforceability has always been an issue, as it was this year. But this year they passed the bill. The purpose of the bill is to create a little bit of a sting on somebody who tries to pass their Fifi off as a service dog when it is not. But as importantly, it is to help create the foundation on which we can start a real educational program. Until it becomes law, it's a wishful thing. Please don't do this. And when it becomes law, it's like when someone said, well, it's not against the law. Well, it will be starting January 1, and they'll start to listen a little more. Anyway, the issue is that we need to remind people why service dogs are allowed, must be provided access to businesses for somebody with disabilities. The ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, a little over 20 years ago, said, okay, businesses, if somebody is disabled and has a dog that's been trained to perform specific tasks to help them relative to that, you must allow that dog access to any facility that any other individual would have access to. A couple exceptions. The biggest one is they don't recommend you go to the zoos in the lion and tiger area because of the right. eye contact issue. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to the dogs. But what's happened is that people today, in the last 10 years or so especially, have been going online and they've been buying vests and, you know, for $79 and they get certificates and registration and they get the service vest and they slap it on their dog and they say, oh, that's a service dog. Yeah. And they use that to fake their way into a business. We get it why people want their dogs with them. We're all dog-centric people. We understand. But it's just really so wrong when you step back and look at it, how that accommodation started. And individuals who aren't disabled, do not have a disability, who do not have a dog that has been trained to perform specific tasks for that disability, who then pass their dogs off this way, are really doing a real injustice. Now, some people say, well, what harm? You know, it's not causing any harm. And we say, au contraire, there are three things. First off, businesses understandably are confused. I don't know what's a real service dog. Right. I see one come in, is that a real service dog? A real service dog is a lot more obvious because of training and grooming and behavior, but still there's that uncertainty. And because of that, the number two problem is those with disabilities with a service dog are subject to much more scrutiny than they've ever had before. You know, and they have enough challenge right now just dealing with, accepting, working with the disabilities they have. And quite honestly, the third thing is that the dogs they're dogs. As well trained as they are, they still are dogs. And if they run into an unruly, misbehaving, growling, lunging dog, it can seriously distract their performance in carrying out the tasks they've been trained, or if they have, or being ready on call to do that. And so there's really three real reasons why it's just not right. There is a downside of doing that. We are hoping, because ADA says you cannot have, you cannot require formal identification and registration, then law enforcement agencies and other advocates for people with disabilities have questioned the viability of this law. And we understand that. We get it. When we testified before the legislature, we said, this isn't going to be a moneymaker for you folks. The real benefit here is the deterrent effect.
Yeah.
And even those other agencies admitted, although they testified against it, that there is a real deterrent effect. We're not naive. It's not going to stop, just like speeders on H1. You're still going to have violators. But we do really think that with education and understanding, that'll make a meaningful dent. Not overnight, but over the next year or two at least.
Right. People will realize the interference, as you described, especially... that's really humbling. Somebody who has a really heavy-duty disability and that dog has been trained to be their aide and is suddenly distracted by some snarling animal that shouldn't even be there. I can imagine somebody with that kind of... And they feel like, well, I have something that I need the dog for. And then they realize when they're in that situation that they're really causing a lot of harm by having that animal. So I think you put it in a really nice way. And for someone who thinks they could use one of these animals and they have a legitimate disability that these animals could help with, how does that work on the finances? Like, you guys are a nonprofit. What do they have to pay to get one of those dogs?
We only have one fee, and it's a $25 application fee. And that's to make certain that we're not getting formal requests without a little hint of commitment. But the dog, after it graduates, during the training and after graduation, is 100% free. They take it home, and it's theirs. Now, they have to be able to pay for food and the vet bills after they've graduated, but they do not have to pay us 1 cent. Our average cost, depending on the number of dogs in the budget each year, is between $16,000 and $18,000 per dog. It's totally free.
So that's a great lead-in to how people can support the organization, because that is a lot of jingle per animal for people who are in a real heavy situation, obviously. So it's an amazing humbling thing whenever I see one of these dogs. There's a woman who uses one right near where the radio station is, and I'll see her sometimes, and it is extraordinarily humbling. And then you add that price tag you just put, so you've got people's attention, and they're driving home, and probably a lot of people are dog lovers or animal lovers, and they appreciate that you're getting these animals into positions where these kind animals are displaying their kindness in so many different ways. What can people do to be kind to you guys?
Well, we have one thing. They can go online, Hawaii Fido, that's not Fido, Fido, FIDO.org, and you'll see a donate button. If you'd like to make a donation, that would be really, really helpful. And we have a couple little mini fundraisers coming up in the next 4 or 5, 6 weeks, between now and Christmas and the beginning of the year. One of them is with California Pizza Kitchen, CPK. We'll be sending email blasts. It'll be on our website, but you'll be able to buy gift cards from $20 to $100, and we'll get 10% of the sales. Now, last year we did one where the promo was you went to the Kahala store, but here it's gift cards. And so your brother-in-law in Otomo, Iowa,
nice,
could, if they go to that link,
very inclusive,
could, and it our opportunity to reach many more
right.
people is really great. And the other thing is the Sony Open is the Friends Charities that does that has a partial match program that we'll be putting out on our site as well. And what that involves is between I think it's November 15th and January, the first week or so of January. If a person goes on to their site, makes a donation in our name, it's real simple, then we'll not only get every penny of that back, but they will, the Tony Open folks will
match it.
Give us a partial match.
A partial match.
Yeah, and it's a really nice match. So those are three ways right now. We're also always looking for puppy raisers. That's real important. It's a 24/7 commitment. You know, you don't put it in the backyard and take off to work and come back 11 hours later. The dog would be gone.
Right.
But secondly, actually even more important as important is the dog can't be left alone that long. It has to be constantly monitored. In that puppy stage. But if someone has the time or has a friend who loves dogs and has the time, we'd like to hear about it. You know, they can go to info@hawaiifido.org or they can call us at 638-0200 and give us their name and express their interest, and we can talk about the possibilities.
Are there any other supplies? Do you have any labor you need done? Anything that somebody listening who maybe has access to supplies the dogs could use, or access to labor, handyman tasks around your facility?
Well, we do have access to a kennel facility as we need it. And that is really well taken care of. We're blessed. We have Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts that take good care of that. The real labor need we have, quite honestly, Dave, is in the puppy raising.
So puppy
raising.
The thing you just basically put out.
The thing we just talked about. Now, as for supplies and equipment and that, we can always use donations to cover food. We have supplies for the dogs. They need chew toys, they need new leashes, they need new vests, all of those things that add up to thousands of dollars
sure.
a year. So
that's a great way to help out.
That's a great way. You can call us or get in touch with us, and we can give you some specific things.
Right. You could sponsor, as you were talking, I was just thinking that you could sponsor the food or sponsor vests or sponsor some sort of ongoing need, as
that
you were
saying. That would be wonderful. We would welcome that.
And so there's lots of ways, if you're a dog lover or animal lover or have been touched by somebody with a disability who has had mobility challenges, and you realize the humbling asset it is for somebody to have one of these creatures by their side. It's really something else. Let me give you the contact info. Jim just had it, but I have it here again for you. HawaiiFido.org, 808-638-0200.
Yes.
You can send an email. Which is your preferred email?
Info@HawaiiFido.org.
Okay.
Or you can send me, Jim, at HawaiiFido.org.
So, and you can email them, info@hawaiifido.org, or you can reach our guest directly, jim@hawaiifido.org. That's an easy one.
Yeah.
All the contact information, the full interview, the radio feature, all of our other previous Helping Hand guests, all archived at hawaiipublicradio.org, where you can hear their previous segments as well, too. Other things that we left out that are critical to either supporting your mission, that you want to let people know about?
Well, actually, I'd like to say one more thing about this new law and supporting our mission of providing service dogs, legitimate service dogs to people with disabilities. I'd like to acknowledge, and we're trying to be real sensitive about this in our education outreach, that there are the people who have emotional support dogs. Those dogs have access rights on airlines, and they have access rights in housing that does not otherwise allow pets. And we think a number of the people who are abusing this now think, well, my dog has these rights, therefore it's a service dog. And under ADA and Hawaii law, an emotional support animal, which is important, very, very important, does not qualify as the equal of a service dog, and therefore does not have the access rights. Even though they can get on an airline in the cabin or in housing, they don't have that. So if you know somebody who has an emotional support dog and is doing this, try to find a sensitive way to have them rethink about that. And if you would like to have more information on that, feel free to contact me with the contact information you've just given out. We would welcome having a chance to talk to groups who would like to know more about that.
He's a great resource, and they're a great resource for folks in need. It is Hawaii Fido Service Dogs Executive Director Jim Kennedy. One of their puppy raisers, a member of the Hawaii Fido Board of Directors, is Roz Garcia, who also joined us. And our last but certainly not least guest, who did not do a lot of verbal contributing to the interview, was Golden Lab Freedom, who is sitting on the ground, and he's quiet and being a good boy over there. I really appreciate what you guys do, and on behalf of all the people who have a disability, who have had this incredible companionship change their life and also give them mobility, thanks for doing it. I'm super appreciative, Jim, and really honored to have you guys on.
Thank you very much, Dave. We appreciate it.